Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olcisi, entrepreneur, realtor, and travel lover. Here's where I get to combine all of my passions into one and chat with guests worldwide about all things real estate. Join us for lighthearted banter, useful information, and the occasional outrageous anecdote. Well, welcome everybody. Today, I feel like we've got Miami part two, but in the ultra luxury sector, because we've got Vicky Arcuri from Coldwell Banker, and she just oozes luxury. She's been in the luxury market for a long time. She is not originally from Florida, but practically from Florida. And even though she went to Florida State, she still seems like an absolutely beautiful and lovely person. So the gator in me kind of doesn't want to like her, but I can't help it because she's fantastic. So without further ado, Vicky, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. I am well, Anna.
Good, good. Well, yeah. So Vicky and I have been chatting a little bit, as I do with all of my guests before the podcast starts recording. So that's why we were chit-chatting, kind of, you know, being silly and, you know, Gator versus Florida State. But for those of you listening, on the day this is actually being released, we are getting ready to go against Alabama in football. So we are just banded together, even though we're from different colleges originally, you know, back in the day, as they say. So Vicky moved to Miami back in 2003, and she has been killing it in real estate ever since then. And today we're going to talk to her about the, like I said, the luxury market, waterfront properties, and the areas that she serves. So Vicky, what do you want to share with everybody about yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I really love living in South Florida. And one thing that I love about it the most is that we really have such a wide variety of different types of recreational activities to enjoy. So it's really, you know, the kind of location where it offers something for almost everyone. No mountains, you know, so no hiking, but other than that, you know, we have boating, we have the beach, we have golf courses, you know, we have country club, gated types of communities, arts, you know, entertainment, music. So that's really something, you know, that I enjoy. And they're all really in pretty close proximity, you know, to each other. So it's something that I enjoy. And then just, you know, enjoying life, fitness, real estate, restaurants.
Right. When you're in real estate, all you do is real estate. That's why, you know, people always ask realtors, what are your hobbies? And it's like, real estate. That's it.
This is true.
We live it and breathe it, but that's the only way you get good at it, I guess. So what I love about your story is that it's being a transplant to South Florida, you probably really appreciate it and see it in the eyes of someone, you know, who fell in love with it versus somebody who just like grew up there but and is there by default. And so you mentioned that you do work with a lot of people who are either relocating or buying second homes there. Does that help you then just kind of help them fall in love with it even more than what they already think they're in love with it?
I would agree that it does, because even for some people who have some familiarity, you know, with the area, they usually ask for suggestions, you know, and want me to help them get a better idea, you know, of what the area really has to offer. And then many times they're also comparing the different areas, you know. So because I am someone who, you know, really enjoys it myself, you know, from a personal perspective, I can give them really great ideas, just highlights, you know, of the different community profiles, what might work for them based on their personal preferences, lifestyle types of choices, you know. So it is something I feel that really helps a lot.
Excellent. And where do most of the people come from that you're working with?
So I have the local buyers, of course, they're always here. But as you know, of course, as everyone has heard, you know, we have a lot of people moving to South Florida, you know, from other locations. So I have a lot of buyers who are moving from the Northeast of the U.S., so New York, New Jersey. And then, of course, now in our current market, a number of buyers coming from the California area as well.
Yep, I have heard that the Californians are are heading to the East Coast. So, do you see that the people in those different states, because they are so different, do they have different needs and wants? You know, like are there must-have lists different, or are they all looking for the same thing because they're coming to the same place?
They have some similarities in that they know they're moving to South Florida, so they're moving here for the things that South Florida offers,
Right.
but they have different preferences for their personal needs. So far as the type of property that they're looking for, if they prefer, say, a single family home, or if they would like a condo versus townhome. Some people want to be on the beach, you know, some people, I shouldn't say some, many actually love it because of boating. And that's another
Cute.
thing. The number of boat sales are very, very high right now. And of course, here in South Florida, we have lots of waterfront. Fort Lauderdale is the Venice of America, more than 300 miles of waterway. So you have a lot of people who come for the boating lifestyle. You also have people who love the golf course communities. And then also we have nice downtown areas as well. So we have people who enjoy living in areas that are walkable, where they can easily walk to shops and restaurants. So, you know, they don't all have, you know, the same search criteria. But it really offers a lot of things, you know, for a wide group of people, which is another, you know, that's another point that they really enjoy.
Definitely. Yes. So in terms of the condos and the homes, what do you see it pretty much balanced in terms of what you're selling, or do you do more one more than the other?
So I've been selling more condos versus single family homes, but that's not representative, you know, of the market as a whole. We actually have many of both types of properties that are selling. We also have a lot of buyers who are requesting more space. So in the condo market, we're now seeing a lot of buyers who are requesting 3 bedrooms as a minimum. And that really did not used to be the norm. It used to be, you know, two or two plus a den. That was, you know, very common. But many more people are requesting a lot more space, and not only, you know, having the third bedroom, but a lot of living areas, large balconies. So we are finding a lot more of that. Part of that is because we have a lot more people who are relocating here, actually, you know, to live here permanently. So, you know, not only that they want that type of lifestyle and amenities, but they really want a spacious area, you know. And some of that also has to do with, of course, people working from home, so being at home more, utilizing those spaces more, you know. So a number of factors that play into that.
And I was thinking about that for that reason. It's because people are, it's going from the second home, which is what South Florida used to be, or the retirement home is what South Florida really used to be back many years ago, to now being the primary space. So
Exactly. Related to that, what we're also, you know, having happen when COVID first hit, we had a little bit of a slowdown, you know, but then once it picked back up, then the single family home market just went crazy. And then condos followed after once the associations, you know, started to lift the restrictions on the showings and the amenity areas, you know, reopened. But related to that, also affecting our inventory level, is that now everyone is here. So we still have the people buying the vacation homes. But then on top of that, you have a high number of people also relocating here. Plus, the locals are still here, of course, and investment buyers. So it's, you know.
It is a lot of people, which is great for you. So bravo, fantastic. Are you seeing that a lot of condos, and I don't know if that's even a thing, but are they doing things like renovating and combining smaller units into like much bigger, like penthouse kind of things? Or is it just like a lot of new development that now is adapting to this, to the larger units?
Yes, so we have a combination. So occasionally in the resale condo market, we do have units that are combined, you know, to make larger ones. But we don't see as much of that on the resale market as we do in the new construction market. So when a building is, you know, still under construction, then buyers have more options available to them to combine two units, sometimes even three. But developers have started to respond to the need for larger spaces by offering more, you know, more. We have buildings, for example, that all of the units have a minimum of three bedrooms, you know, so that's something they're building more of. And we started to see, there were a few of the developers who started to cater to that even, you know, in recent years, say five, six plus, you know, years back, where they were starting to do that. But the buildings that have three plus bedrooms are still not the majority. So they are very, very rapidly, you know, responding to that and building more of them to meet the current demand for it.
For sure. I and now I'm guessing then those are the ones that are just flying off the shelf.
They are.
People are just, yeah. Are you, I'm guessing yes, now based on what you just said, but are you still seeing like multiple offer situations, or has that cooled down a little bit?
We are. Yes, we are still seeing multiple offer situations, and average days on market, you know, are still fairly low, you know, in most segments of the market. And we just don't have, you know, a lot of inventory available. I would say in most segments of the market, especially, you know, single family home market, we have about a month and a half of inventory. Whereas in our, if we had a normal balanced market, we would have say 5 to 6 months of inventory. And then in our condo buildings, we have buildings, you know, where there's only 3 or 4 units for sale in the whole building.
Wow.
You know, so there's just, and that's the case, you know, in most segments of the market.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. And so in a lot of these buildings, I know that they are super luxury. So what would the price points be that there, I mean, I know there's crazy demand on what price?
Mm-hmm. There is. Now, in the condo market, we, of course, have all price points available. But in the luxury condo market, we'll just, you know, say the million plus market. Mm-hmm. So there's very, very high demand. We have many of those buyers, you know, in our current market. And then within the luxury market condo, as well as single family home, we have lots of cash buyers. And that is something that's a bit unique to the South Florida market, the very, very high number of cash buyers that we have compared to, say, the national average and what some other areas have. So in the million plus market, in most parts of it, we have 70%+ of cash buyers. Yeah,
wow.
It's very, very high. And then even in the under 1 million market, we do have many cash buyers as well. Say in most of those, it's about an average of 50% cash buyers when we're looking at the under 1 million range. So it's, yeah.
Wow. That's wild. I mean, we've seen an uptick on cash here as well. But of course, our price points are a little bit different. a little bit. So that is fascinating. It's probably, I would guess, a lot of people just want to park the money there. And so it's a really safe place to do it, at least for now, because it's desirable. Obviously then, you know, resales obviously are doing incredibly well. Are you seeing people upgrading right now? Just to make money off of stuff that they bought maybe 2 years ago? Are they staying put?
Well, we have a combination. So we do have some people who are doing that, you know, and they're upgrading and staying local. And then some people are selling and leaving the area. But because we have, you know, so many people moving here, even when people leave, that inventory is very quickly absorbed. Now, you have another set of people who they want to upgrade, but they can't because it's a great market for them to be a seller, but it's not a good market for them to be a buyer. So they're holding on to their properties and not selling, which also is keeping the inventory low because they don't have anywhere to go locally. What they want is either not currently available or is not going to ever be available based on the price point and the features that they're looking for, you know, so that creates issues, you know, as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Well, I think a lot of the country is seeing that. I know that we're even experiencing that tremendously where, or, you know, in our case, I guess the builders just can't keep up anyway. So even if they want, if they wanted to, they could upgrade to something, you know, phenomenal.
That's very true.
Doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And we're having that problem with a lot of the builders as well, especially in the single family home market. So we just don't have an abundance of land for new communities to be built. So they're not really able to keep up with the demand, you know. Now, we do have lots of new condo construction, you know, but even in our current market, a lot of those are selling out very quickly.
Sure.
You know, we had a building that, several actually, that shortly after they launched, and these are buildings where the average prices are, say, $1 million to $5 million, very shortly after they announced their, you know, sales that they were opening, before they even broke ground, that they're already 80% sold out. And there's, these are buildings that are still 2 years out, you know, before they finish them. And that was previously pretty much unheard of, you know.
Of course. Yeah. No, I remember a time, I mean, it was during the recession, of course, but when, you know, you looked out on downtown Miami or like, you know, the Brickell area and everything, and everything was just, it was empty.
Yeah, they were empty.
Completely empty.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, but empty. And so it's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful that it's coming back and then some. So how many units would you say a lot of it? Because these are now like towers. They're not even just like, you know, 8-story buildings. These are just gigantic buildings for the most part. Is that accurate?
So we have a combination. So we have the luxury high-rise towers where you'll have 200, 300 units, you know. And then we have boutique style buildings where they are, say, you know, 5 to 10 stories and 50 units, you know, let's just say under 100, you know, for purposes of saying a small building, you know. And then you have some that are mid-range. And then we have some that are very deceptive. So they are buildings that are high rises, and you see them, and these are 30-story buildings. So you think, wow, there's a ton of units, and there's not. The reason is because all of them are very large. So we have a few of those where we have some buildings where every unit is either an entire half floor or an entire full floor. So you'll have a 50-story building and it's 50 or 60 units and the whole building plus the amenities. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. That's so decadent. I imagine a whole floor, you know, I just can't even fathom it, you know, but it is amazing. And I guess, you know, that's why the people from New York, you know, are probably very attracted to that.
They
and,
are.
You know, they're used to it, but they're not probably used to that level of luxury because it's not affordable there, you know, the way, because we're talking in the millions, but that's affordable compared to what you're going to get in
exactly compared to if they were buying that in Manhattan, you know.
Right.
So now they're able to buy it and be on the beach with amazing views, you know, and of course lower taxes, you know, and
we have much lower.
Yes. So that's, you know, we have a number of buildings like that, mainly in the Sunny Isles area and Miami Beach. So that's where you have, say, the majority of your luxury condo towers that are directly, you know, on the beach. And then, of course, as you mentioned, you have downtown Miami, you know, if you want to live downtown. And downtown Miami, that's still the epicenter of condo construction. So that's still where South Florida has the highest number, you know, of available new construction condos and condos, period, is downtown Miami.
I would not have guessed that, actually. I would have thought it was like closer to, you know, the shore, because like downtown Miami, well, first of all, when I lived there, nobody lived in downtown Miami. It wasn't like a place you even entered. And so that happens in all cities, right? You know, the places that where like it's no man's land suddenly becomes like the hip place to live, you know, and we see it just time and again. So it is fascinating though that right now that's where, you know, the bulk of the condo construction is happening, and it's great. I mean, that makes me happy because, you know, the city it makes the city come alive and thrive and everything. Okay, so I speak because I obviously know the area, but I'd say the majority of the listeners do not know the area. And so give me a little bit, like educate us a little bit about the areas that you serve, because you were telling me it's tri-county. So what does that mean? You know, how far south and how far north and all that.
So as far south as Miami and as far north as Palm Beach. So within the
Okay.
Tri-County area. And I work mainly in the neighborhoods that are in the east areas. So east of 95, east of US 1, meaning the areas that are on the beach, close to the water or on the water. There's a lot of people who are, buying either waterfront home or condo where they're able to do boating and they own a boat, or it's near marinas, near the inlet, or either people who live, on the beach. So those are the areas, where I'm primarily working.
Those are good areas to be working.
Yes.
So it's not bad. Your days are filled, I'm sure, with looking at very beautiful things.
Yes, I love it. And that's another thing that I love, just about my job, doing real estate, is that I love the views and the locations. I never get tired of it. I don't care how many times I've seen a beachfront condo or waterfront home in the boats, I'm still in love with them, so.
Oh gosh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard not to love. I mean, that is, because that's the beautiful part of South Florida. And I think that that's the part of South Florida that everybody imagines when they're talking about the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach area. So you get to live that fantasy, because really west of 95 and US 1 and all those areas, you're not getting that. It's a different Miami altogether, or a different South Florida altogether. So yeah, so that's great. So speaking agent to agent, and any agents who are listening here, how did you break into such a glamorous, I'll say, market?
So, it was little by little. So, I started real estate in November of 2006, 3 years after I, moved to South Florida, and it was a terrible time to start, as you know, because of course at the end of 06 and going into 07, now we're starting into all of the craziness of the market going down and the beginnings of the recession. So it was a terrible time to start, So breaking into it, I really started by learning as much as possible about all of the different areas, And starting out as a new agent at that time, I didn't have any buyers, and then certainly far less than I would have had if it had been a normal market, not going into a once in a lifetime recession, So it started with that. I visited as many neighborhoods. I would go to take any opportunity to attend open houses, to tour the communities, learn them, take videos and pictures. And I really started, establishing contact with future buyer leads by blogging. So I started blogging at the beginning of 2007. I would do market reports. I would talk about the different areas, all of those types of things. And that's really where it started, and I still generate a lot of my buyer leads from the internet, because of my website and the placement and the blogging and all of those things. Social media is there as well, but that's really, where it started. So then, it grew from there. And then, of course, over the years, I've developed more referral-based business, but I still have, a large number of those new contacts, from online.
That's fantastic. See, so it's all about consistency and the grind. Do it and educating yourself. So, yes, it doesn't come easy. You don't start selling million plus dollar out of the gate, And if you do, it's just kind of like a fluke at first, but you have to, it's not something that you become, consistently good at, and that's not your clientele until you do everything that you've done. So do you currently work with more buyers or sellers, or is it just like a mix of both?
So it's a mix, but a majority of buyers.
And have you found that to be, because I know a lot of buyers agents everywhere are a little bit frustrated by that.
Yes. I would agree with that. So that is, of course, as you know, one of the issues that we have with the lack of inventory. You know, so while it's great and things are flying off the shelf, you know, we have a lot of buyers, and I personally have a lot of buyers who are qualified and they're ready to buy now, and what they want is simply not on the market. And these are people who they're realistic about what's available in their price range. You know, even, you know, buyers, and I'm talking luxury buyers as well. There are many of them, and what they're looking for is simply not on the market, you know? Yeah. So they're waiting because of that, you know? So I am definitely dealing with that issue, you know? We're hoping that, you know, we need more inventory, you know, we need it to get back to a point. We need it to get back to a point where it's more of a balanced market, because right now we really do not have enough to meet the demand for most people.
Right. Well, yeah. But I mean, the thing, the only problem with that is that when will it ever become a balanced market again? I feel like it's just not going to happen anytime in the foreseeable future, because of not just the demand, but just the builders, even these condo builders probably can't keep up if they're selling out 80% 2 years out.
Exactly. You know, no, I agree.
That's wild.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I look at all of the market stats and just all of the various factors, and I agree with you. It does not seem like we're going to be seeing much of an increase anytime soon.
Yeah. And, you know, what I hear sometimes is that it's a bubble again, and we all keep saying, no, I mean, it's not, because these are qualified buyers. This is not the frenzy with, you know, the mortgage, you know, or the lenders and everything, because you've got cash buyers, obviously, so more than qualified. It'll just be really interesting to see, you know, what the market does, especially in South Florida. Like I said, I hear time and again, you know, how it's just, you've got a feeding frenzy. And so that's wonderful. I mean,
another factor, you know, related to that, and I actually just had, I did an interview newspaper article for USA Today. They contacted me last month because they were doing an article about foreign buyers in the market, and they wanted to get my perspective about the South Florida market. So something, you know, to your point about not being a bubble and, you know, what's going on here in South Florida, is that some people have forgotten that most of the foreign buyers that we used to have in the market, who were playing a large role and the condo market in particular, they're not in the market right now, okay? Right. So they're not even a factor in the competition and these low levels of inventory for the most part. Mm-hmm. So when they returned, can you imagine? I mean, they're not even here right now.
Yeah. I know. And I did know that the foreign buyers, you know, really it has calmed down a little bit. Did you work with a lot of foreign buyers years ago?
Yes, I used to have a good number of foreign buyers, you know, here, because South Florida, here in the U.S., was number one for the number of foreign buyers, California number two, and I think New York number three in the previous market. So we always had a large number of foreign buyers here in South Florida's market, and a lot of them bought condos. But because of COVID and travel restrictions, a lot of them are not here right now. You know, and we had lost a few of them too, even before that, just because of some issues that were going on in different countries. But it's just, you know, they're not here. Now, some of them have been returning, but by and large, you know, they're not here in the large numbers that they were. So a lot of the properties that used to be purchased by foreign buyers are now being purchased by domestic buyers. So that will be interesting. I have seen an uptick in the number, though, of foreign buyers who've started to contact me again. And then I was looking at my website stats, and I can just looking at the locations of the countries of the visitors, seeing an increase, you know. Yeah. And I actually had one of my listings that I sold at the beginning of this month, September 1st. I had a listing in Hollywood on the beach. It sold for $900,000. And there was a buyer's agent, you know, who brought the buyers, and the buyers are from Argentina. you know, so we're seeing a little bit of an increase. Little by little, they're coming back, but, you know, still not in large numbers. Yeah. So that's another factor.
That's interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, all the, you know, the countries in just all the Latin American countries, like you just said, Argentina, I was like, on any given day, it could be really high, it could be really low. You know, you just don't know what you're going to get in most of these. That's fascinating. I just thought like that is going to change the, I guess, the culture and the flavor of Miami to a certain extent, because it's been such, you know, a Hispanic kind of driven place for decades and decades. And so, you know, now as it's becoming, are you feeling that at all yet? Or is it?
Not as much yet. You know, I think, I mean, there's still, it's still very much, you know, a wide group of the international buyers, you know, who are in the Miami area in particular, you know, so I don't know that we're going to see or really feel it as much right now. You know, it's probably going to take a little while, I think. But that is something that, as you mentioned, is more specific to Miami in particular, as you know. You know, now, of course, it's not to say that we don't get the international buyers in Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach. We do, but far fewer. You know, like, for example, used to get lots of Canadian buyers in, say, Hollywood, Hallandale, Fort Lauderdale areas, you know, and a few European buyers and whatnot, maybe in the Palm Beach area, but still, Miami has just had a majority of the international buyer activity, you know, in the past.
Well, I'm curious to see how that pans out in the next, I don't know, yeah, the next decade, really, just to see, you know, what, how that's going to be influenced. So for all we know, it might change slightly, or, you know, everybody from New York and California and all that will start, you know, adopting, you know, Miami accents. And
that's funny.
And, you know, the Miami attitude and Miami, all that. Right. So you know, you just never know.
That is true.
Yeah. So what, is there anything else that you wanted to add to the conversation that I have not asked you or touched on?
I guess we kind of touched on it because we talked about the cash buyers at length. There are people still financing, of course, you know. So the low interest rates have had, you know, an effect in the market as well, where it's encouraged buyers, you know. So we do have that activity as well. I'm trying to see anything else we might have. I guess maybe a couple of things. The price increases. I don't know, we really talked about that. But that has, of course, you know, the property values have been going up across the board, you know, especially within the past year. And I think that's happening in most places from what I hear, you know, because I do follow the real estate markets in a lot of areas and know agents who work there and, you know, listen to their market reports and videos, you know, that sort of thing, which I find very interesting. But we have had, you know, an increase, I would say, you know, in some areas, many, 30%+, you know, and an increase in prices. So that's something that's happening. And then it's really, you know, for entry level buyers, it's really pushed a lot of them out of the market because there's really a new floor when it comes to that. So it's very difficult for a lot of them because in many cases, for a single family home, we're talking 400 plus just to get in. And that's very normal. You know, and that's not even
entry level.
It's not, you know, so that's made it difficult, you know, for a lot of that segment of the market. So definitely, you know, definitely seeing a lot of that happening. And then back to the luxury market, our favorite, something that is happening in the ultra luxury market is that now we have many sales of properties that are 10, 20 million plus. You know, it used to be that if a sale like that was announced, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't common to hear something like that. And it was like a really big deal, you know. Now it's daily. There's several, 20 plus, 50 million plus, you know. So that is something, you know, that has become more common too. And then something interesting in the last few months that we have been seeing are flips that are actually happening in the luxury market. Now, that used to be really unheard of.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. And these are properties where they sold a few months ago and they have not made any, you know, modifications to the property. It's just the same house, you know, and they're now selling for, say, 10 million plus from what they just sold for, you know, a few months ago.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like a really nice deal. My goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Which in part is, you know, it's driven by the high demand in those areas and then also the lack of inventory, you know, so it has just really gone bonkers, you know. So it will be interesting to see, you know, what happens because another thing too is that we are going into the fall season and the winter. Here in South Florida, that's always a very busy season for us because that's always when we have a lot of the people who are here, you know, looking at the properties, buying them, you know, the people who are here for the winter. But now, you know, in the current market, a lot of our, what would be the normal seasonal trends just sort of completely changed, you know. So instead of, say, the summer being a lower season in some areas, that didn't happen. The sales just continued, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really, this has just really changed the face of the market entirely, you know.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, that I didn't even think about that, you know, the fact that there are seasons, you know, in South Florida, but or selling seasons in South Florida, just like there are here, but ours are a little bit different up here because they're school driven for the most part versus, you know, just I'd say I guess snowbird and weather driven, but now that doesn't matter, I guess.
It's very true. And then the neighborhoods where the market was previously very school driven. So for example, the communities that are located west and the great school districts, you know, those markets did have a tendency to be very school driven. So you would typically, of course, have a lot more activity and sales with the families trying to buy those before, you know, school started back. So looking and buying and getting that done. But now, because, and those are, of course, the local people, some relocating, but that used to be more the local people, you know. But now, because you have so many people relocating and they're interested in those kinds of neighborhoods, not necessarily for the school districts, but just for the features of the neighborhood, because so many of those neighborhoods are gated, have great amenities, you know, and those kinds of things. So now, you know, the activity has been very busy in those communities, even when it's not the locals, you know, buying in time to get into the school district, you know. So it's really just shaking everything up from what all of the norms used to be.
And there is no more normal, I guess, that in Miami or anywhere else. So Miami's never been too normal anyway, but yeah, that's fascinating. So yeah, so the market in Miami is about as abnormal, and I guess in a good way, as it's become everywhere else. And that is definitely, you know, to your advantage, I would say. So that's wonderful that you've been able to just keep going. And clearly you're resilient because you were around in 2006 and you're still here. So you are accustomed to markets doing all sorts of weird things and still coming out ahead. So congratulations on that. Yes. So do we have any parting words or thoughts?
So just another thought when I was talking about the people relocating is the companies that are relocating here. And obviously companies come along with people. So we have so many of those. We have the tech companies, we have the finance companies like hedge funds, you know, there are so many of those, you know, that are currently relocating, you know, to South Florida. And they're looking, a lot of their people are either looking for something, you know, permanently, a lot of them are buying, you know, and then we have a number of those people who are leasing as well, you know, so there's also a lot of pressure, you know, in the rental market too.
But I was going to ask that. So yes, I'm glad you're talking about it.
That's definitely true. You know, so we have, you have a couple of different types of renters. You have the local people, of course, that goes without being said, you know, but you have the people who are moving with the, you know, intention of looking for a rental, but then you have a large number of people who are forced into a rental because right. what they want to buy is not available on the market, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's creating a lot of, you know, reduced inventory in the rental market as well. So even mm-hmm. when people contact us looking for rentals, we don't have a lot to offer them. We just don't, yeah. you know. So it's yeah. really tough yeah. in the rental market too. And even some of those are going with multiple offers. Who would have ever thought? Yeah. I mean, a multiple offer on a rental, you know. But
well, you know what's funny? We actually, in Gainesville, that's actually a common thing, interestingly. But I can see how, why it wouldn't have been really in most places, you know.
So and then yeah. the prices have gone up, you know, so much for rentals. They just keep going up and up and up. So that's really, you know, and then, of course, that creates issues for just the regular local people who are looking for rentals. So it's, yeah, there are a lot of factors, you know, and they're all happening at the same time. So
yes, exactly. You know, it's like Miami's growing, but it's not going to start shrinking. But I mean, there's a cap. It can't, you know, once land and these buildings and everything kind of tap out, then you're going to fill in the Everglades.
Right. I don't know what's gonna happen, they, well, that's what you say that, you know, being funny, but it's very true. Yeah. As you know, when they build, they keep getting closer and closer and closer to the Everglades. It's, you know, right I there know. On the edge.
Yes. And for those of you who are listening who have no idea where the Everglades are in relation to the beach, they're super far. Super yeah. duper far.
Like 40 I mean, minutes.
I was going to say like an hour, you know, really. So depending on where in the Everglades, I guess you've gotten at that point. But yeah, so, and that's probably 40 minutes with zero traffic too.
Well, so, this is very yeah. true. And that's what some yeah. people, well, a lot of people find out too. They'll be searching, you know, and they see a house online and they'll send it. Oh, this listing looks interesting. Or why didn't you send this one? Well, you said you wanted to be close to the beach, either walking to the beach or 10 minutes. I'm sorry yeah. to tell you, this house is like 40 minutes from the beach, because a lot of the communities, they don't realize, but a lot of the communities where many of the properties are not in the beach area. You know, actually right. the majority are not, which is another thing that, you know, increases the value, obviously, of those properties.
Oh, yeah.
But that happens so, too.
It's fascinating, and I'm really curious to see how this is going to look this time next year. And I don't know if changes, you know, in COVID are going to then maybe help turn the market a little bit to get people to then maybe move back to some places where they're coming from. I just doubt that because of the taxes and all the things that kind of come along with living in Florida that you're not going to get elsewhere. Or maybe it's going to contribute to growth in cities in other cities in Florida or in places, I don't know, like Georgia and all of that.
So. That is happening as well. So there's, you know, there is a lot of growth and amazing things happening, for example, in the Tampa, Florida market. You know, yeah. they're getting new constructions. They have a lot of development they're doing in the downtown areas. So yeah. they would, you know, and then of course, they also have similarities in that they have waterfront, you know, and beaches right. in the area. And then I think I recently read an article, I think they're the number one currently highest growth in the nation for their rent prices. Tampa. That's, who would have yep, thought, yep. you know?
I am. Yeah. But I mean, I can see that because it's like less giant Miami, I guess. It's like,
exactly.
It's big, you know, it's really, really big. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's just a different coast, you know, but I'm curious to see how that ultimately might affect the areas near where we are here in North Central Florida, because I mean, we're not on the water, but I'm just talking like St. Augustine, you know, or the other coast, you know, the West Coast, and all that. I know like areas in the Panhandle have grown tremendously. We had Bo Blankenship on the podcast a few months ago, and he's like in 30A, which is a section there in the Panhandle, which I guess you might know.
I do. Yes.
And right. That's amazing to see what's going on there. So, I mean, I think just Florida in general is just booming, and I'm happy about that. You're happy about that? We all can be very happy about that.
Because
So
we have
let's
people, of course, moving
yeah.
to the Naples area as well.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
also popular, different flavor, but and we get more
Well,
not so many of the New Yorkers that move to the Naples
right.
area, but more people from the Midwest, who like the Naples area. But yeah, definitely amazing things happening all over Florida, for
Yes,
sure.
yes. Well, Vicki, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I'm looking forward to reconnecting with you in about a year or so to see what the market is doing and to see how many more of those condos have popped up and how many years out they are before they finish. And it is really a fascinating market. So thank you. Thanks for your time.
And
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
best. Oh, you're welcome. And best of continued success. Best of luck with all of your endeavors because it's difficult. It's a difficult market to have broken into and to sustain. So congratulations.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. If you're looking for luxury in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach area, then Vicki definitely is the person to speak with, especially if you want to be on the water and you want a nice boat slip. So we'll have all of Vicki's information. She has robust information online to really give you an idea of what the market is down there. And so if you're looking for information, she's your gal as well. So thank you everyone for listening. And here is to another wonderful week ahead.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Anna.
Bye.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!